Welcome to the Bayshore Podcast. As listeners each week, whether through iTunes or through the church app, you're part of our church family. We would love for you to share stories of how Bayshore is impacting your life by sending us an email at amen@bayshorecc.org. As always, you can find all kinds of information and content on our website, bayshorecc.org. There's also our church app, which you could download by going to bayshorecc.org/app. So thanks again for joining us this week, and we hope that today's message is a blessing to you.
Aw, that was cute, but not as cute as our kids singing this morning, right? Can we give it up for our kids and our kids' volunteers one more time? The best. I was having a proud dad moment in the front row. I'm like the video camera dad, okay, like getting my kids, and so I love it. That's awesome. And can we also talk about the gingerbread house in that video just real quick? Like, can we look at this picture of this gingerbread house? I think it's coming. Guys, amazing. Nobody's gingerbread house where it looks like that, does it? I know this because this is literally my family's gingerbread house. Right, our actual one, okay? And all the candy is on this side of the roof, not so much on this side of the roof. There is literally hair in this one. I'm glad you can't see it, but there's hair right here. There's a receipt tree right here, and it's eaten half of it. It wasn't me, I promise, all right? But this is a gingerbread house with character, right? And there's a crack right here. You see that crack? That's a character crack. And it's the only reason this thing is still standing is because there's like 70 pounds of icing, like holding it together. And our family may be the worst at putting up to bed or together gingerbread houses, but Christmas is the best. And so we love the Christmas season around here. And so Merry Christmas to you guys. You guys feeling Christmassy? Merry Christmas to our online family. I want to give a shout out to Tirza, who's watching us from Washington State. And here's a picture of Tirza, just so you know that these are real people. Here's Tirza. Merry Christmas, Tirza. Merry Christmas, Donna, down in West Palm Beach, Florida. I am not jealous. I am not jealous. I am not jealous. But here's Donna right here. And then a long Merry Christmas shout out to Phil down in the South Pole. Not the North Pole, that's Santa's land, okay? But this is literally a picture of Phil, a podcaster, at the South Pole last week. And so he sent me a picture, or sent me a voicemail last Sunday, and he said, "Hey, I'm down at the South Pole. I'm listening to Bayshore's podcast every single week." And he said, "Tell everybody I said hi." And so Phil says hi. And so, hey, who is grateful that it's not negative 50 right here? Okay, is anybody grateful about that? Yeah. All right, use that enthusiasm. And on three, let's all just shout out, "Hey, Phil." Hey, Phil. One, two, three.
Hey, Phil.
Love it. All right. Well, we've called this series Merry and Bright because it's the most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing. That's just for the merry people. The mistletoe thing, we're in church, merry people. "There will be much mistletoeing and hearts will be glowing when..." Y'all just left me hanging right there. Sorry, some of you got into it, but it's the most wonderful time of year, but it's also an opinionated time of year. Have you noticed that people have strong Christmas opinions? Like, for instance, here's one strong Christmas opinion. People are really opinionated about Christmas music. And when is it okay to listen to Christmas music? So I'm curious, how many of you think you can only listen to Christmas music after Thanksgiving? After Thanksgiving? These are the angry elves in the room, all right? Who thinks you can listen to Christmas music all year long? Woo! That is right. Me too. And haters gonna hate, but we're all over it, all right? More music. I love Christmas music, but people are opinionated about that. People are also opinionated about Christmas lights, okay? White lights, color lights, no lights. Family feuds have happened over which color lights to put on the tree. And so who are the color light people? You like color lights? Okay, you all are the fun people, the party people. Who likes white lights? White lights? All right, we are the traditionalists. We're the purists. We like everything uniform. We like Apple products. And we're boring. Let's just embrace it. I own my boringness, okay? I like the white lights on the tree. But people are opinionated about that. People are also opinionated about when is it okay to open Christmas presents. Okay, some people think you can only open Christmas presents on Christmas Day. Who thinks that you can only open Christmas presents on Christmas Day? No Christmas Eve presents. Are you all killing our Christmas spirit? Who thinks you can open up Christmas presents on Christmas Eve as well? Only one. Okay, only one. Now, it's interesting you say that because when I was a kid growing up, we got to open up a Christmas present on Christmas Eve, and it was one present. And every year, me and my brother, we would get the first present, and we would be like freaking out because we had waited all year for this. It was the first gift. And so we would like tear into the first gift, and we'd open it, and you know what it was every single year, every time?
Pajamas.
Matching pajamas. Nothing is worse as a kid than your first gift being matching pajamas. But I love Christmas as a kid, and so the first thing we would do on Christmas Eve, we'd open up our matching pajamas. The second thing that always happened on Christmas Eve is my brother, who is older than me and is a hugger, and that may or may not be relevant, but you'll see later on, okay? My brother, every time after on Christmas Eve, after we would get our pajamas, he would say, "Joel, let's sleep in the same bedroom and in the same bed tonight." Now, I would never come up with an idea like this because I have strong opinions about personal space. And my opinion is, don't get close to me. That's my opinion. My brother does not share that opinion. And when you sleep in the same bed with him, he's sort of like the Lord because he's omnipresent, okay? He is everywhere. And he doesn't care if his leg touches your leg, which is like a Christmas nightmare to me, okay? That's like the nightmare. But Tim is older than me. He is bigger than me. He is hairier than me. I know this because of the leg touches. Okay, anyway. So every Christmas Eve, we would sleep in the same bed. And then, one year, Tim said, "It's Christmas Eve. All right, we get to sleep in the same bed. It's the tradition." And I was like, "Tim, not this year." And he was so disappointed. Okay, I remember the look on his face. He was like, "Why?" And I said, "The reason we can't sleep in the same bed wearing matching pajamas is because I'm 24 years old." We are balding, Tim. Like, no, we can't do this. That is 100% true, that story. But we all have Christmas stories, and I love Christmas when I was a kid. Because think about it, when you were a kid, Christmas just sort of happened to you, right? Like, you got 2 weeks off from school, Christmas presents just kind of showed up. For me, my mama would make molasses cookies. Come on, somebody. Yeah. Praise the Lord for molasses cookies. And so, like, there was nothing stressful for Christmas for me as a kid, all right, except for when my brother's leg touched my leg. But that's a different story. But then you become an adult, right? And Christmas for adults is stressful, isn't it? Yeah. Because now you got to make Christmas happen. Now it's a job. You got to, like, get the presents. You got to wrap the presents. You have to get the batteries for the toys. Who's ever forgotten the batteries for the toys? That's worse than pajamas for Christmas right there, forgetting the batteries for the toys. You got to make the Christmas cookies. You have to clean the house for the in-laws to come over. You don't get 2 weeks off from work. You get a half a day off from work. And so Christmas sometimes doesn't feel all that special. It just feels stressful, right? Christmas doesn't always feel like it's the most wonderful time of the year. It just feels full, not wonderful, right? And so today is all about how me and you and how we can recapture the spirit of Christmas, how we can recapture the wonder of Christmas. And so I want you to turn to a few people, and I want you to say, "Goodbye, stressful spirit. Hello, Christmas spirit." Go ahead. Some of you guys are like giving your Christmas list to the stranger next to you. It's pretty smart. All right, so here's what I think's interesting, okay? When you look at the Gospels and you look at Jesus in the Gospels, which by the way, little side note, there is no Christmas without Jesus. There is no, you know, Christmas parties without Jesus. There's no elf on a shelf without Jesus. Jesus started Christmas. Jesus is Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. And whether or not our town, which I love our town, I love Rehoboth Beach, it's awesome. But whether or not they put up the nativity back or not, it doesn't change the fact that Christmas is about Jesus. It will always be about Jesus, and nothing will ever change that. I feel good right now. Anyway, when you look at the Gospels, when Jesus shows up, it says that over 40 times people were amazed at Jesus. 40 times. Wherever Jesus goes, people are amazed. Whatever Jesus says, people are amazed. Whatever Jesus does, people were amazed. People were in awe and amazement at Jesus. People had wonder about Jesus. And I like the word wonder. Is anybody like wondering what the word wonder means? No. I'm going to tell you anyway. Okay, so here's the definition for wonder that we're going to use today. Wonder is a feeling of admiration and astonishment at something awesomely mysterious in one's life. I love that definition. It's a feeling of admiration and astonishment at something awesomely mysterious in one's life. And when people experience Jesus, they had wonder. When people experience Jesus, they had this feeling of admiration and astonishment at something awesomely mysterious. And that started when Jesus was born. And so let's look at the very first Christmas. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And if you didn't bring your Bible or your Bible app, it's going to be right up on the screen to follow along. And this is the first Christmas. And it says, that night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them, and they were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid." Now, a little side note. Every single time angels show up in the Bible, okay, people are wigging out. A lot of times we're like, well, I want an angel to show up and talk to me in my life. Okay, no, you don't. Because every time, people are just kind of freaking out. And so, like, you know, nobody, like, gets the family when the angel shows up in the Bible and says, hey, we're going to take our family Christmas card with the angel. No, everybody's like, hide your wife, hide your kids. It's an angel. They're scared. And the angel always says, don't be afraid. Why not? And it goes on in the next verse. It says, don't be afraid. And the angel says, I bring you good news that will bring what? Great joy. This good news is going to bring great joy for all the people, for kids and for adults. Every single person, this is for all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so just kind of imagine this. So the shepherds are the ones who get this news. It's nighttime. They're in a field right outside of the town. It's dark. They're stanky. They got sheep. Smell and stuff all over them, and they're stanky, and angel shows up and says, listen, you all are getting a gift. And this gift is going to bring you great joy. It's going to bring you great joy. It's going to bring you great joy. Everybody's getting great joy with this gift because this gift is Jesus. And so, guys, the Christmas for us isn't supposed to bring us great stress. It's supposed to bring us great joy. It's supposed to bring us great wonder. It's supposed to bring us this feeling of admiration and astonishment at something awesomely mysterious in our life. And so how do we get that great joy and that wonder this Christmas? Well, I'm going to give you three things today if you're taking notes. The first thing, if you want to experience great joy and wonder this Christmas, is you have to reclaim a childlike faith. Reclaim a childlike faith. Last weekend, my wife, Stacy, and my kids told me that they were going to take me out to dinner anywhere I wanted for my birthday dinner. Praise Jesus for birthdays. And so they said I could go anywhere I wanted, okay? I could go to Agave for dinner. I could go to Finn's over here for dinner. I could go to Striper Bites and get the lobster mac glory in the highest right there. Anywhere I wanted. And so clearly, I chose Grotto Pizza. And listen, people have strong opinions about Grotto Pizza. But there's only one opinion that matters on my birthday, and that is my opinion. And my opinion is that a Grotto Bacon Pizza brings me great joy. And so we went to Grotto Pizza at the Long Neck one, and we pulled into the little lot there. And as soon as we pulled in, my daughter Nora from the back seat, she saw it, and she was like, oh, Daddy, I like this place. I was like, yeah, you do, because you're my kid. That's why you like this place. And she said, I like this place because they have the game room. And I was like, oh, shoot. This birthday just got a lot more expensive. But my kids love the game room. So we went into the game room. My kids are losing their mind. The first thing that Nixon does is he grabs a Terminator gun. And he's like running around the game room. And I'm like, this should be our Christmas family card right here. Like Nixon with the Terminator gun. And Stacey's like, no. So they're running around going crazy. And they love the claw game that like goes down and gets the toys. You guys know about the claw games? And every time we go there, there's this one. And I'm very appreciative of Grotters for this. There's one that you can pay for and you play until you win. And it's the one that's full of rubber duckies. And so my kids, out of all the games in there, all right, my kids freak out about the rubber ducky claw machine. And so they're going crazy. And so we got them on that one, and they played. And when the rubber ducky came out for Nora and Nixon, they got it in their hands. And both of them basically were like, oh, my goodness. This is the greatest. And I'm like, Stacey, we should just come here for Christmas. It'd be cheaper. You know, I could get bacon pizza. I mean, come on, this will be good. But don't you just love the simple things that bring joy to kids? Yeah. Did you remember the simple things that brought you joy when you were a kid? Like, for instance, did anybody put a baseball card in your bicycle spokes? Anybody do that? Yep. Instant motorcycle, baby. Yeah. Right? Or this, did anybody catch frogs just for fun when you were a kid? You just caught frogs? Anybody? All right, these are the people who have old frog pee on their hands, all right? I know, that's what happens. Well, what about this? Do you remember eating ice cream as a kid and the amount of joy that ice cream brought you when you were a kid? Did you know why? Because you didn't know about calories. You just knew about cooties. Could you imagine, like, how great ice cream would be as an adult if we didn't know about calories, right? And kids can find joy in anything. That's why on Christmas, they like the box more than the toy that the toy came with, right? And so that's just wonderful about kids. They just have this joy at the simplest things. And sometimes people say, well, Christmas is for kids. You know, all this stress, all this pressure that we kind of go through, that's just for the kids. And I get that, but I think Christmas is also for us old people. We're old. Welcome to Bayshore. We like to make you feel good about yourself, okay? We're old. But I think even as adults, we can have childlike faith. I think we can remember that God is good, and that can bring us joy. I think for us as adults, we can be astonished at all that God has brought us through in our life, and that can bring us joy. I think we can remember that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means Jesus is here. And when we remember those things, okay, we can hopefully gain that wonder at Christmas, because Christmas isn't just for kids. We can experience wonder right here and right now when we experience a Christmas story. And when you hear the Christmas story, we should be like, oh my goodness, this is the greatest, which is what the shepherds did when they heard the Christmas story. Let's look at their response to this news. In verse 15, it says, when the angels have returned to heaven, the shepherds, they said to each other, let's go to Bethlehem. We got to see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. My translation is, they're like, oh my goodness, this is the greatest. And they go and they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby Jesus lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story, okay, everybody who heard the shepherd's story, how did they respond to it? They were astonished at the story. What if you got astonished this Christmas? Some of you are like, I'm going to get astonished. When I open up the credit card bill in January, that's when I'm going to get astonished. But no, I mean, like, what if you let the Christmas story astonish you this year? What if you focus in on the point of Christmas this year? What if you didn't get caught up in all the stress of Christmas, but you got caught up in what makes Christmas so special in the first place? Because when you reprioritize Christmas, it changes your perspective of Christmas, and you can have that childlike wonder again, okay? And that's how we get childlike faith, okay? How can we get it? When we get that God sent his son Jesus, for God so loved the world that he sent his son Jesus to us. When we get that Jesus came here to love us and to accept us just the way we are because of this great gift called grace, when we get that Jesus is Emmanuel, which means he is with us right here and right now, okay, when we get that, your childlike faith will go up and your Christmas stress will go down. And when your childlike faith goes up, your trust in your Heavenly Father also goes up. Kind of reminds me of something that happened a few weeks ago. My mom was watching my kids. So I went over to pick up my kids from my mom's house, and I walked in their laundry room, and I could hear my mom and my daughter Nora in the kitchen, and they were just kind of having a good time. And then they heard me walk in, and I heard, shh. And so I was like, I got to see what this is. And so I walked around the corner, and they're just like, and I'm like, I caught you all in a cover-up, baby. Listen, it feels really good to catch your mom in a cover-up. Because of all the times she's caught me in cover-ups as a kid. And so I'm like, what'd y'all do? You're covering up something. This is a Christmas miracle. I caught y'all. So what happened? And so what had happened is my daughter Nora had just got her ears pierced a few weeks before. And she had these really expensive Minnie Mouse earrings in. And they were covering up the fact that they had lost one of the Minnie Mouse expensive earrings. Now, why did Nora have an expensive Minnie Mouse earring? I don't know. I'm just a dad. I don't ask questions, okay? But they lost it, and so my mom said to me, she said, Joel, you're probably going to need to re-pierce Nora's ear when you get home because it's probably started to close up. I was like, Mom, do I look like I can re-pierce ears? I'm a pastor, not a re-pierce. I don't even know, like, I don't know how to do that. I'm not equipped for situations like this. And she's like, you'll be fine. I'm like, okay. And so I drove home, and on the way home, I was like, Nora, we're going to wait for your mother to come home from work before we deal with the whole ear thing. And Nora was like, no, Daddy. She said, you can do it. It's going to be okay. I trust you. I was like, well, you do now. You wait till I re-pierce the ear. Like, it's going to all change. But I thought, like, what's the worst that can happen? She might get a second piercing for free. I don't know. Like, we'll just... And so we got there, and I put her up on the kitchen island, and I was like, here we go. And I just kind of remembered and tapped into my experience of putting, like, worms on fish hooks when I was a kid. So it's got to be similar, right? And so she grabbed my arm, and I grabbed her ear, and I hooked the worm. And it went through. It took some pushing, but it went through. And so Nora was like, see, Daddy, I told you you could do it. And here's a picture of her right after she got her ear pierced, re-pierced by me. Went for the little seahorse this time. But she's tough, man. And that took a lot of faith and trust from her towards me to let me do that, right? And I think that's a lot like what a childlike faith looks like. It's like us saying, God, I trust you. And I don't know what's going to happen, but I know that you're going to be with me and it's going to be okay. And you might say, well, Joel, you and me have like a childlike faith, but you don't know what I'm going through right now. I don't. You might say, Joel, you want me to trust God, but I just have questions for God. There's a lot about the Bible I don't understand. There's a lot about the Bible I don't understand. And I'm the pastor. Listen, a childlike faith doesn't mean that everything is wonderful. It doesn't mean that everything is answered. It just means you say, God, I trust you no matter what my circumstances are. I trust you no matter what my questions are. And why do kids have childlike wonder? It's because they have childlike faith. It blows me away at how much my kids trust me and how much faith they have in me. Like, I shouldn't be piercing anything, you guys. But they just look at me, and it amazes me at how much faith they have in me. And you know what's interesting? In the Gospels, two times it says that Jesus was amazed. Just twice. And what's crazy is, both times Jesus was amazed, it was about faith. One time, this Roman centurion believed that Jesus could heal somebody from a long distance away, and it says that Jesus was amazed at his faith. So that's one time he was amazed at faith. The second time, he was amazed at someone's lack of faith. It was his own people, the Jewish people. The Jewish people were constantly wanting Jesus to prove himself, to do miracles, to show it over and over that he is God. And so Jesus says he was amazed at their lack of faith. And so I wonder this Christmas, would Jesus be amazed at your faith? Or would he be amazed at your lack of faith? How do we get wonder? Childlike wonder starts when we have childlike faith. The second thing, if you're taking notes, if you want to have Christmas wonder, is you have to trade a Grinchy heart for a grateful heart? The Grinch. I love the Grinch. Is anybody into the Grinch movie? You're into the Grinch like book? You are into the Grinch? Any Grinch people? Y'all look a little Grinchy, okay? Is anybody married to the Grinch? No, don't really answer that question. Christmas is going to change for you if you answer that question. Anyway, the Grinch is my kid's favorite story and favorite movie, all right? That movie is on our TV all the time. It could be July. It can be 100 degrees outside. New Jersey license plates can be taken over Route 1. It doesn't matter. My kids are like, we want to watch The Grinch. And so they love The Grinch until a couple months ago, they saw a preview for the new Grinch movie come on our TV. And my kids were very confused because in their mind, The Grinch is Jim Carrey. Yeah. And so they're like, who is this? Yeah. And I was like, kids, that's the new Grinch. All right, and it's in the theaters, and they're like, oh. And they said, can we go see it in the theaters? I was like, do you got $40? I took them anywhere, anyway, people. I took their picture in the Midway Theater because they were so excited to see the Grinch. And so here's their picture of them by the little poster. It's coming. It might not be coming. Is it not there? Don't worry. There's a picture of them. That's my fault. But anyway, maybe you haven't seen The Grinch 50 times this year like me. So let me refresh your memory on The Grinch story, okay? The Grinch lives on a mountaintop just north of Whoville. And The Grinch hates Christmas, but everybody in Whoville loves Christmas. And so The Grinch gets this idea, I'm going to ruin everybody's Christmas. And he goes down one Christmas Eve, he dresses up like Santa Claus, and he goes down everybody's chimney in Whoville while they're sleeping, and he steals the Christmas lights, and he steals their Christmas trees, and he steals their Christmas presents, and he eats Santa's cookies because he's smart. And then he goes all the way back with everybody's Christmas stuff onto the top of the mountain, and he's like, I just ruined everybody's Christmas while they were sleeping. And so Christmas morning comes, and he's like, I want to listen to them cry and weep because they don't got any presents anymore. And he hears them laughing and singing. And he's like, how in the world do they have great joy? And then the next thing that happens is, well, can I just read the next thing that happens to you? Can we read the Grinch story right now? This is so good. Okay, so he gets back to the top of the mountain and he hears them singing. And it says, and the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons, it came without tags, it came without packages, boxes, or bags, and he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. That is so good! The Grinch for the win! And so listen, after this happens, he goes down into Whoville, his heart grows, and he goes down into Whoville, and he celebrates with everybody in Whoville, even though they're celebrating without Christmas presents. And that reminds us that Christmas doesn't come from a store. To turn to somebody next to you and say, does that mean I don't have to buy presents? Don't be a dummy. You got to buy presents, okay? You got to buy presents. But guys, Christmas doesn't come from a store. And it definitely means a lot more. Christmas came because Jesus came. Jesus left heaven. He left perfection. He left comfort to come down and be in Nowheresville, to be born in a stable or in a cave, and to be surrounded by animals. Why did he do that? He did that for us. And not to judge us, but to give us great joy. And when you celebrate that this Christmas, you'll have wonder this Christmas. When you celebrate that this Christmas, you'll be like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation. Like, joy to the world. And Bo will have to be like, hey, quiet down in the second row. I'm singing up here. You're too loud out there. But when you celebrate what Christmas is all about, it just comes out of you, which is what happened in the original Christmas story. Look in verse 20. It says, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God. And when we're grateful, what happens? It just comes out of us. And so they're glorifying, they're praising God. They can't contain it for all. They says they were glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Look, let's be practical. How can Christmas get merrier and brighter for you this year? What if you were grateful for everything this Christmas? What if you just chose gratitude this Christmas? Okay, study after study shows that when we're grateful, we have more joy in our life. That's what the research shows. When we're grateful, we have more joy. And when you're grateful for everything you have brings you joy. And so what if this Christmas, every time you wanted to complain, you sprinkle a little Christmas magic on that complaint and you turn it into gratitude? What if you turn your complaints into gratitude by putting a little Christmas magic on that complaint, okay? You know what would happen? You'd be happier. You'd be merrier. You would be brighter. And so here's what I mean, okay? Maybe your car is broken down. Instead of saying, oh, no, the car is broken down. It needs to go to the mechanics. The car is leaking oil in the garage, which is what I found out was doing. My car was doing yesterday. And I wanted to complain. And I was like, I got to put this message into practice. Instead of complaining about the car, just be like, God, thank you that I even have a car. Santa still has a sleigh, baby. Well, when you want to complain and say, oh, there's no more money in my bank account. The Grinch stole into the bank account, stole all the money. Instead of saying that, instead of complaining, say, God, thank you that you've always taken care of me up until this point in my life, somehow, and you're going to take care of me up in, you know, my future, somehow. And instead of complaining about it being cold outside, you know, walking outside, I'm like, baby, it's cold outside. Just remember Phil in the South Pole. But be grateful because, listen, you have a warm bed to sleep in at night. Maybe you have young kids and you don't feel like you can get a moment to yourself, even in the bathroom. I know this because last Sunday I was in the bathroom. Aren't you glad we're talking about this? Anyway, I heard this voice. I heard, I see you. And I was like, Lord? But then I heard, no, look down here. And Nora's fingers were under the door. And she said, can you see my fingers? It's like, yes, I can. But maybe you have young kids and you want to complain and you never get a moment yourself. But listen, be grateful that your kids are still under your roof. Maybe you have teenagers and you want to complain that you haven't seen your, you wish they would follow you in the bathroom. You wish they would talk to you. You wish they would put Fortnite down. I don't know what it is, okay? You wish it, but listen, just be glad that they're still at home with you. Maybe you have kids that are old and grown and they moved out of the house and you're kind of like the empty nester and you want to complain about that. Okay, just be grateful but that they grew up, they moved out, and nobody killed each other. Christmas miracles happening all over the place. And so just sprinkle that Christmas magic on these complaints and turn it in to gratitude. And when you do that, I'm telling you, that's the best Christmas present you can give yourself this Christmas and the people around you. Because when you're grateful for all you have, it just makes you merrier and brighter and merrier and brighter. And sometimes people say, well, I'll be grateful when I'm happy. That's not how it works. You'll be happy when you're grateful. And so just be grateful for all that God has done in your life, and that'll help you with your Christmas wonder this year. And the last thing, and I'll close up with this, is if you want to have Christmas wonder, you got to remember who we're celebrating. Remember who we're celebrating. I read some Dr. Seuss to you this morning, and I thought I would mix it up by ending by reading a different person. I'm going to read an excerpt from a guy named S.M. Lockridge, a message he spoke in Detroit in 1976. And he was this pastor from San Diego, and he has this message called, That's My King. That's My King. And listen to this. S.M. Lockridge says, My King was born king. Talking about Jesus. He's the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's honest. He's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's supreme. He's preeminent. He's the grandest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one able to supply all our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He's the almighty God who guides and keeps all his people. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. He's the leader of the legislators, the governor of the governors, the prince of the princesses. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. That's my king. His promise is sure. His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible, he's invincible, and he is irresistible. I'm talking about the fact that he had no predecessor and he'll have no successor. There's nobody before him and there will be nobody after him. Lockridge says, that's my king. That's my king. Come on, somebody. Woo! That is who we're celebrating at Christmas. And then he ends this, that's my king talk with, do you know him? Do you know him? And you see, the miracle of Christmas isn't just what God did 2,000 years ago. It's the miracle of what God can do in our heart today. And so he says, do you know him? And I don't know the answer to that question, but I do know that last weekend, 12 people raised their hand and said, that's my king. I do know that this past year, 96 people have raised their hand right in this room and said, that's my king. That's what I know. And if he's your king, you can have wonder this Christmas. You can have this feeling of admiration and astonishment at something awesomely mysterious in your life. And so if he's your king and you admire him and you're astonished at all he's done in your life, let's just give it up for our king this Christmas. Come on, let's give it up for him. Thank you, Jesus. And if you're here and maybe you've never said he's your king, on behalf of everybody who just cheered right then, we want you to accept that wonder and that Savior, like we've accepted, because he is the greatest gift. And so do you know him? Let's bow our heads and we'll close up. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus, he is the superlative of everything good that we can say about him. He is what S.M. Lockridge described right there. He is the greatest king that's ever walked this earth. And he wants to lead your life. And so if you want to experience the wonder of Christmas this year, like the first Christmas was supposed to bring us great joy, if you want to experience Jesus and just accept him in your life, would you just raise your hand? Everybody's eyes are bowed, everybody's heads are bowed, rather, and their eyes are closed. If you want to accept Jesus this Christmas, I see that hand. I see those hands in the room. Thank you guys for raising your hands. It's amazing. Here's what we're going to do. If everybody who just raised a hand, everybody who just, or who is a Jesus follower as well, let's just all say this out loud together. Dear Jesus, today I confess that you're my king. I believe you're the Son of God and you died on a cross for my sin, but you walked out of a grave alive to rescue me. You're my Savior. And I pray you give me great joy this Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Guys, let's give it up for those who just made that decision. It's amazing. That is why Christmas is merry and bright for us around here. And so if you made that choice when you walked in, you should have got your program, and there's a little section on there called Go Further. Just let us know that you made a decision to follow Jesus today. Give us your email address. Hand it to me or one of our volunteers when you walk out. We just want to connect with you and tell you what your next step is. And for everybody else, next weekend, 10 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Monday, don't miss it. It's going to be one of our best services ever. We'll see you then.